Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got?
For juggalos and juggalettes.
You are now listening to the best friends podcast in the world.
It's a very special episode here. We are doing this not, I mean, if you're an audio listener, it doesn't matter to you because this all comes out at the same time, but we're doing it an hour early.
You're getting this tomorrow. So tonight we are pre-gaming, baby.
Pre-gaming game three, the abbreviated game three. Should be game four, but we're at game three. So we're pre-gaming a little bit. So it's going to be a little unconventional, just Dan and I.
Just the old solo cast with the boys here. We're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk beer. We're talking fantasy football.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We got to talk about it, man. It's been too long. We've had some great guests, but we got to get back down to, the roots of this podcast.
Yeah.
Which is fantasy football.
Yeah. As Luis J. Gomez would say, we really need to get back to the roots, our racist roots of the podcast.
Oh, jeez.
That's another podcast. It's not affiliated with us.
Damn, Tom.
We just talk about beer.
We've got sports, beer, and we've got banter. Fantasy, so let's do it.
Yeah, fantasy. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the greatest podcast that exists in the history of podcasts. It's your number one source for all things craft beer related, internationally acclaimed, Cindy Croft approved podcast of hops, virtual high fives, and friendship. I am your host, the crispiest of boys, the king of the crunk.
I feel like you're just in front of Citizens Bank Park with like a Bluetooth speaker playing that right now. Like I'm leaving the park and some guy's trying to sell me a t-shirt with the speaker.
Well, that's how I went down on the L. I was on the L and just blasting my Bluetooth speaker. Suitcase Bluetooth, like those obnoxious party speakers, not like a personal one, like really just made it real uncomfortable for everybody.
Just like knockoff t-shirts and a 50 box of Philly soft pretzels.
Yeah. Well, everybody, no, you don't bring soft pretzels. You get them at the parks.
No, I say you're going to be out in the parking lot slinging those.
Oh, I'm going to be bootlegging.
You're going to be bootlegging out there pretzels with your Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah. And they're 2 day old pretzels that I stole off the Rebel Hill bar top.
Yeah. Oh, they crunchy. They crunchy.
Yeah.
But by the way, guys. It's Tom. It's Tom. Tom, ladies and gentlemen.
And
the other host is sitting in his basement, just waiting to turn on the series, but he's going to sit here and hang out and have some beers first. It's the Hot Master General, the Royers Ford Rattlesnake. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Fuck you, Austin Riley.
It's Dan.
All right, everybody. And as you know, we are the best friends podcast in the world. It's the year of the late 90s, early 2000s hip hop, but year be damned. We're going to switch it up.
I knew it.
Everybody, we're the best friends podcast in the world, and we start right now. Go, Phil.
Play the fight track. Is this the other version? I thought it was the Robin version that everyone does.
I thought it was the Tiesto version.
I thought it was the Robin version. We played the Robin version after they went to the series.
I thought they did the Tiesto version is the official track.
I don't know. We'll put it out to the crowd.
I don't know. just a more, is it? No, it's, yeah, it's, I don't, it's not this, is it?
I thought it was this. Say this one's got a little bit more of a beat to it.
No, it's definitely they definitely play the Calvin one, whatever his name is, Colum Scott. Definitely play the Colum Scott one at the park.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was that or the Robin one.
What up, Dylan? Tough week, bud.
Dylan's on the YouTubes. Uh-huh. Are we still out with Facebook?
No, Facebook is up and working.
Okay, so Facebook's up and working.
Yeah, they sent us an email and they said we're back, but you know, keep watching on Twitch and YouTube. It's better. It's the best of the three. And speaking of guys, you know, follow, rate, review, all that, 5-star party, rate, give us a review. Hopped Up Network, we're still part of them. Give us money now, money please. anchor.fm/bestbestfriendspod/support. Yeah, there we go. Damn. Housekeeping all done right there.
You're like a nervous kid giving like a public speaking course.
How I gave my best man speech. How fast can I do this? How can it be done? I think, speaking of YouTube, I think I changed this. Nope, it's not up yet. We do have
the ability to have a URL now, right?
Yes. Which I switched it this morning. I don't know when it goes live.
Sweet. It's nice that we get the tagline now, or the extension.
So now everybody knows, you know, everything, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, it's all.
Well, knowing you, Tom, you probably change it to Best Best Friends Podcast like you do with Twitch. And I had to be like, why isn't it the same as everything else?
Well, now everything's Best Best Friends Pod, and that's also Best Best Friends POD. I
feel so alive. I'll believe it when I see it, Tom. Best Best Fiends Pod. Damn it.
God damn it. We're a mobile game. We're doing a podcast about a mobile game. It was Best Best Friends Podcast on Twitch because I wanted the branding. I wanted we could get some new viewers that aren't familiar with us, and they knew that we were. For them, they knew we were a podcast.
But everyone uses pod. They know that.
Well, you can't assume, Dan. People are dumb. Inherently, people are dumb. I'm one of them.
God, we're not even 11 minutes into this. I'm already getting on my second beer.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be a beer filled one. We're not doing typical. We're not sharing, you know, we're not doing same beers.
We're going to talk about beers. I got some topics to talk about beer wise. So
I think I'm rolling with Andy Man specials all episode, I think.
Which is funny because I'm running Beer Mule specials right now.
Ooh. I love it. Yeah, it was Andy Man that dropped off all the Oktoberfest and stuff for you, right? Or for us.
Yeah, there was like a slew of them.
Yeah.
the guy does the Lord's work, man. Props to Andy Man for that. Mm-hmm. Also the Beer Mule who comes and visits me every Sunday at Rebel Hill, so drops me off some goodies.
Dylan Angelo's made sure that they were definitely going to, at least on their part, do their part to make them starve.
Do you think like DoorDash was just like dropping their like food in a trash can right outside of the hotel, being like, it's delivered. I put it out front.
Oh, I banged on a trash can for you guys. I thought you would hear that. We're doing a pregame. We'll be done. We'll be done by 8 o'clock by the start of the game. Mike's Barbecue also denied them. That's great. I love Philly. I fucking love Philly so much.
It's probably because Verlander fucking flipped him off on the way in. Did you see that video of him on the bus?
No.
He was they were back in the bus in, and Verlander, I guess the one window that was open, Verlander was peeking out of, and he just started like flipping off like Philly's fans who were like booing him as they were coming in.
Are you sure he wasn't flipping them off because he thought they were backing into his wife's vagina? Yeah, that fell flat a little bit. You know, it's just me.
It's okay.
You could tell because she, it seemed like they were driving over her ass because it's very flat. The Astros asked Mike for a joke.
It just got worse.
You gotta pile on, Dan.
Just let it die, man.
The Astros asked Mike's for Latino food, and he was like, "I make American barbecue." Nice. I wonder what would happen if they asked like Pats or Geno's. Pats is the
I mean, right. Pats would probably say get fucked, and Geno's would probably be like, you know, just put it under
for the publicity,
put it under a different name.
Yeah.
So, Tom, you're drinking an Oktoberfest, right?
A Mürzen, yes.
Yeah. You're drinking a Mürzen. Mm-hmm. And I am also drinking an Oktoberfest here, which is
Oktoberfest.
I've got the Schwarptoberfest here.
Oh, yeah. You got the poor man's going on.
Yeah, I got the poor man's here. So. Yeah,
I drank that one the other day, and that is a great Oktoberfest.
Yeah,
really, it is really good
fest. Truly a fest beer right here, which is great. Yeah. I feel like this is a good swan song for the style because, I mean, it's going to be really hard to find them. You know, they're starting to dwindle now. So we're getting into November, and you know. I'm still so excited every time I pull an Oktoberfest out of my fridge, but looking forward to some other, I don't call them seasonal beers, but they're seasonal to me, you know, beers that I enjoy as the months get colder.
What do we get? What's like a Christmas style?
Like a I don't know about the Christmas style, but November always reminds me of like every brewery putting out like a barrel aged John around Black Friday.
Yeah, they're trying to keep
like
up, Bourbon County.
Yeah, so in keeping up with Bourbon County, a lot of local breweries say, you know, yeah, fuck Bourbon County, let's do, you know, let's do our own barrel aged stuff. So I'm looking forward to a bunch of barrel just squirreling away a bunch of barrel aged stouts. So I'm stoked.
Oh, for sure. Ales, yeah, I think around like November, December, January. I think that's like ale season.
It's ale season, baby. Yeah. It's got more, it's got to have a little bit more body to it. You know, it just gets, we want something that's going to, you know, warm us up on those cold winter nights. Mm-hmm. The crisp it turns to malt here. Like the crisp just gets a little maltier, a little darker. So I'm stoked. I'm stoked for November with the stout season. I don't know, man. Christmas, like winter ales, I guess. Yeah, there are a lot of different ales. Anchor's Christmas Tree Ale was always one around the holidays that I would get.
Yeah. Sierra Nevada Celebration.
Celebration. I mean, that fresh hop IPA. I'm ready for that.
Yeah. Celebration is that's a classic. That's a Christmas beer to me. That's a Christmas beer. Mad Elf obviously is Christmas time. I'm all about this this hot goss that we're getting in our group chat here, Dan. Are you getting in the old
Yep.
boys?
Yep.
Yeah, so I had some Master of Pumpkins. I guess that's going to round out my pumpkin beer season. That's going to be the swan song. That's the beer to end pumpkin season for me. Definitely lived up to the hype for me. It's interesting that he used a wit beer yeast, and it had some of like those banana esters come through mixed with the pumpkin. I didn't know how it was going to work, but it was just, it was a chef's kiss.
Yeah. And what's funny is what like Ryan highlighted on this, they legitimately put it in their commercial for Trogues online, or like they did like a thing for Master of Pumpkins where they were roasting the long neck squash for it. So Master of Pumpkins does use the long neck squash. It was in their or their Instagram video for it. So,
yeah, it, I mean, so it
all, not a fraud, Ryan. It's, you know, just another gourd.
But yeah, I think the big thing in Master of Pumpkins was it wasn't like overly pumpkin spiced.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting huge nutmeg, huge cinnamon, huge allspice. It kind of takes a backseat to the way that the squash and the Whitbeer yeast work together. So if you get a chance to go, shout out Limerick Bev. They have it in stock. If you can get some, I recommend it. Probably my favorite pumpkin beer since Pumpkin.
Nice.
Really good. all right. So we're drinking Oktoberfest beers. So you're saying Poor Man's is going to be kind of like your... Is that like your swan song? That's it? Or you still have some stashed
away? Oh, I have a ton stashed away. But the one thing I do every end of October is, you know, during the trick or treating is I usually pack a few Oktoberfests in the wagon. And that's kind of like my set.
So you pack a couple Oktoberfests in kids' bags, like a couple lucky kids are going to get an Oktoberfest.
Yeah. Billy from down the street's getting hammered right now.
angry knocks on your door.
Check your candy, kids. I found a Brothers Kirshner Autumn in my kids' lunch bag, my kids' trick or treat bag. No, but so I like to take all, like, because by the time I get down to like the end, all the different four packs I have are whittled down to like singles. And I usually like, I'll give variety packs out to some friends. Mule, I gave him a variety pack of Oktoberfest beers that I've been kind of squirreling away. And I took a variety pack on trick or treating last night, you know, cut short because of the rain, but you know, only had two beers, but I usually try to do my Oktoberfest send off like during my trick or treating, you know, take the kid out. We have a wagon that we hold everything in and I just, you know, crack a few beers while we walk around the block.
I love it. And Chris White, spot on. Poor Man's, their Oktoberfest is really good.
Yeah, they've been wowing me over here with like different ones that I've had. Their West Coast IPA, the Nookie was awesome. All Chinook West Coast IPA, so that was amazing. They did a honey amber lager. That was just stellar.
Yeah, if anybody knows those guys personally, tell them to respond to our DMs because
actually the mule knows them personally.
He kind of does. He said he's going to talk to them for us, but you know, who knows what's going on with him? He's got a kid coming or already came. I don't know.
Yeah, he's radio silent on that. It's you know, it's the final countdown. So
yeah. I want to imagine that the kid is already been born because they were doing they had that plan. It's scheduled.
Oh man, little mule.
Yeah, I thought it was the end of October. I could be wrong.
Yeah, we gotta get like a tiny stuffed donkey and send it to him. Yeah, a little tiny stuffed donkey and a little mule. Congratulations on the little mule.
Yeah.
And send that over his way.
Congratulations on your mulet.
But I mean, not to brag or anything, but you know, I have the highest viewed video on Brewers and PA's group page for the Nookie. But hey, all the Poor Man's Brewing owners liked and commented on the video too. So I've got their names, man. I'm just going to go start messaging them.
Relentless, Dan. Relentless.
Relentless.
Yeah. Treat it like you want me to treat it like sales and just, it's going to be relentless every week. Be on. Yep. All right. What do we want to get into? You want to talk World Series? You want to talk beer? You want to talk fantasy football?
Oh, I mean, we just did a little beer talk. I mean, I feel like we can deviate. We talked about styles that we're looking forward to, styles that we are regretfully signing off on, though. We do have some local breweries that will keep the Märzen style throughout the year. So, you know, they don't put a label of Oktoberfest on the Märzen style. They call it their celebration, more of a celebration beer. And I'm stoked that they're going to keep that going. So,
yeah, we got to get out. at some point we got to make a trip out to Ephrata to visit them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, their beers are, I haven't had a bad poor man's beer, so.
Not yet. Nope. Every single one I've had has been pretty stellar. So Oktoberfest, even like Fest beer being my like least favorite of the two Oktoberfest styles, this beer slaps. So
I agree. That one was really good. I think I drank it during an Eagles game or NLCS. It was during a sports game.
Hello, sports. Speaking of sports, do we go into fantasy or do we go into baseball now? What do we talk about, Tom?
We'll get into a little bit of fantasy.
Let's do it, Tom. You got the music?
This is Fantasy Football Talk.
It's been a while since we could use this.
Yeah, it's been too long. You know, we've been trying to shorten the episodes a little bit. And plus, we don't want to put the Brewers through us ranting about our fantasy football team. So,
yeah, it's got to be boring as hell for them to like listen to us talk about that. So we definitely had an interesting week. Interesting last couple weeks.
Man, it's been a great couple weeks.
Yeah, Dan's been on a roll. Dan's going to fall off a cliff here. I'm calling it now. Your team's going to fall off a cliff.
See, I don't think so, man. I think I'm good. All right. I think I'm good.
I'm on a string of like losses against teams where they have put up the highest number by far against any other team. This week I lost to Dan in the pod bowl.
I have a smoothie sour waiting for you. You're going to be shotgunning a smoothie sour.
Never agreed to that.
I know you were mad quiet this week in the old chat. I was like, oh man, I hope you didn't pull a Dan and his kids in the hospital now.
No, I have another exam coming up. So I've been deep in the book. But yeah, Dan beat me. What was it? 166 to 158.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that far off, man. I mean, it's still pretty close. And it's great because like I made some roster moves. Like I had some people in that were kind of disappointing me at the beginning of the season, like Alvin Kamara being one of them, where I was just like, man, he is just stinking to high heaven. Like he's been just sitting on my bench. He had, you know, he was questionable for a little while too. It just some real stinkers. And even Dalvin Cook I've had on my bench for a while because he was just terrible. Like I feel like my players that I've drafted are finally waking up a little bit though.
I think you had two of the highest scoring players of the week on your
team. Pollard was a last minute grab off of available players. I went into running backs and I was like, how is Pollard still available here? And I just scooped him up.
I wouldn't even have searched for him thinking that like, obviously he's on somebody's team. Like they get such like an even split there.
Well, I was nervous because of DK Metcalf was questionable and all his articles were talking about knee surgery. I'm like, he's not going to play then. Like he's getting knee surgery. Like, you know, I threw him on my bench and I'm like, well, who am I going to put in my flex? And I just, you know, kind of went through to see who was around. I saw Pollard. I went, son of a bitch, man. And like, Ezekiel Elliott's kind of, you know, they're going to be splitting up it up. So I'm like, I'm going to put him in because, you know, he got me a lot of points last season too.
Yeah. It was a tough week because I outscored everyone except for you and Matt in the league.
crazy. Matt went off.
I had 158 and it really all came down to the last 2 minutes of the Bills Packers game. Because on the last Packers drive, Aaron Rodgers threw a bomb, which was caught in the end zone. So the Buffalo defense lost points and I didn't.
Oh yeah. It felt so good.
Yeah, I didn't gain any points from AJ, Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron Jones. So yeah, it was like a, it was like a double, you know, double stab with a knife there. You know, it was bad. Plus I think both of us did not benefit from, I had AJ Brown and you had Jalen Hurts playing.
Yeah. So it was, you know, I feel like it was good. Yeah. None of us benefited, but it kept us honest where it was like, you would get points, but then I would get some points too. So it was kind of like a right. give and take a little bit for yeah. that. And I was just,
I ended up getting more because I got more points for touchdowns. So receivers get 6 points and quarterbacks yeah. get 4. So I was benefiting.
Oh yeah. You were looking this touchdown. Up because you were like, God damn it. He's going to have Hurts.
Well, yeah. And I really did not benefit from the Chargers bye week because I feel like you would have started Herbert if he wasn't on a bye.
Oh no, no. Hurts. I would have started Hurts against them. against Pittsburgh.
Well, with AJ Brown playing, like it kind of cancels out points.
Yeah, but I'm still getting points versus, I mean, if Herbert would have went against somebody, like what if he had a bad week? I still would have, crap, at least if AJ Brown did well, that means Hurts did well. So like I would still be getting points.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I probably, if I was in your situation, I probably would have started Herbert over Hurts just to, I mean, obviously it would depend on the matchup who you yeah. know, who's playing the but field.
If he got trashed, like say if like I put like Herbert in and then like Jalen Hurts got trashed, that means AJ Brown didn't get as many points as he was planning to get. Then I would have been like, oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe that would have been it. But
you could also think that like, all right, maybe AJ Brown won't get a target again. You know, or might have a game where he has like 2 catches for 34 yards and then.
But you also have Eckler. So like if I had Herbert in, you'd probably have Eckler.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And then, yeah, a lot of the passing from Herbert goes.
Yeah. I mean, this would have been kind of a back and forth with our respective lineups, too, because you have Eckler, too. And Eckler's been a golden goose for you. Speaking of running backs, I had to look this up because I was talking about how just trash like Alvin Kamara was the first 4 weeks of his kind of season. He only got like total 14 points for 4 weeks, 4 weeks total of 14 points. From Alvin Kamara. Yeah. So those first 4 weeks, like he was out against Tampa Bay, out against Minnesota. He only averaged a little bit over 7 points for Atlanta and Carolina. He was garbage. I had him on my bench. And then I just watched him against Seattle, Cincinnati, Arizona. And I'm like, I got to put him in like and start getting some points. And that was like that. And then adding Pollard to my team or last minute decision that just paid in dividends.
I had the opposite happen where I benched Kyle Pitts for Tyler Higbee.
I watched that.
Who Tyler Higbee scorched the Niners earlier this season, and Pitts hasn't done shit. So I benched him in favor of Higbee, and Higbee did nothing, and Kyle Pitts put up 19 points. So.
Yeah, I was watching.
That was a decision that lost me the game because if I play Pitts, I beat you.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, you probably definitely would have. Yeah,
I would have 100% beat you. I would have scored like 170.
Yeah, and I should have put in. Actually, no, I don't think there's any other regret other than no regrets there. Maybe DK Metcalf, but no. Actually, no, all of my entire
Pollard.
Yeah. Yeah, my entire bench.
Just, yeah, I just you just everybody on your team played well, and that's
well. Been like actually, yeah, I should have gotten a better defense, man. Who'd have thought like the Dolphins' defense against Detroit would have gotten 0 points? Uh-huh. And who'd have thought like Daniel Carlson is a kicker had no opportunities to get any points in that game? If yeah. I had two spots in my matchup that had 0 points. Zero and I beat points, you. Yeah. I still beat you.
Yeah, it's just that's the story of my season. I lost to Justin, the first time he scored over 100 points all season, which I'm going up against him this week. And 90% of his roster is on a bye this week. So, I don't know what's going to, he's going to have to,
man, I don't know, Justin.
Hope, might have to for a waiver wire miracle.
I know. I don't want to get rid of anyone. Like, as much as I'd be like, oh man, like I'd welcome trades. I kind of like where all my guys are at right now.
Yeah, we have a, so I looked at like the rankings from, and we have a couple of things, other players. I mean, we can't just talk about ourselves. Matt had a big week. Ryan's
huge week.
Ryan's team, who has been just an absolute killer, just fell off a cliff. He made a trade. He traded Derrick Henry and Brandon Ayuk for, I forget who he traded him for. but those two guys combined for like 60 points. And Ryan didn't touch 100 this week, which, you know, he's been hitting like 150 every week. And Dylan benefit, or not Dylan, Justin benefited from that. He won his second game because,
you know, I'm really hoping to. I mean, it's crazy to look at what like the playoff expectation might be for this. Like,
I was looking at it earlier today of final standings and projections. So. Right now, Ryan is projected to go to be number one. Matt is projected to be number two. I'm projected number three. Dan is actually projected number four. One of the biggest, second biggest leap up. After the draft, you were projected as number eight. You're at number four now. Ryan was projected at number seven and jumped to one. Where are we at?
Devontae's, man, I can't believe, you know what? The toilet bowl that's going to happen at the end of this with like the lowest, tier.
I mean, anything can really happen. You look at like Dylan, who's in here saying he fell off a cliff. Absolutely did. He is injury ravaged. He dropped from,
two to five,
projected 2-5. Hop Thief projected number 1-6, real fall from grace.
And yeah, we almost have an equal, like almost opposite yin and yang drop here. And we're going up this week. So I'm still.
Richie's team of death dropped from number 3-7. So
a true team of death.
Yeah. The what did we do? Six teams in the playoffs? I think we did six teams in the playoffs and two teams get a first round bye. So we're looking, we're looking at potentially, I'm trying to think here.
We're looking at a pretty competitive playoff run here. In the right next, now,
as of right now, you would play Ryan and I would play Matt. Actually, no, Ryan and Matt would get buys.
I feel like we're going to play in the playoffs, man.
No, it would be because we're
it's two divisions.
Yeah, it would. No, it would be, let me see, who would it be? It would be Hop Thief versus me and Dylan versus you if it ended today.
Ooh.
And with Ryan and Matt getting a bye.
Okay.
But as of right now, Hop Thief is first in the crispy division. So
he is. Yeah,
it's all projected, I guess, off of like they projected off of strength of schedule and your roster. And but anybody anybody like Dylan, you can get ravaged by injury. Whoever has Jamar Chase has been riding him. I think that's Richie. He's in big trouble. I mean, if Dan, you have a pretty solid lineup where I think if any of your players got injured, you have a fairly decent replacement.
I've got some tools on the bench. I've got a good amount of different moves I could make. Some names that I wish did a little bit better, but I feel like they do enough that if I have an injury, I could still supplement points from it.
Early in the season, I was saying that this was the year that the running backs fell off. I was wrong.
I retract after that. Running backs have soared.
Yeah, they've definitely made a resurgence, and it's you have to have a dual threat running back. Except for Derrick Henry, which I am absolutely flabbergasted that he is
still, I just like the word flabbergasted. I always get a giggle out of me.
I'm flabbergasted that his legs still work. I thought the wheels were absolutely going to fall off that thing. Tight ends stink this year. You have to have either Travis Kelce, or Mark Andrews, and Mark Andrews even had a shit game.
Well, tight end depth is as shallow as a puddle. Like, there's not a lot of good star tight ends out there. Like, I am holding on to Goddard. Like, as much, like, that is a terrible choice. But that's all Goddard man.
And Goddard is not even a good fantasy. Like, he's not a good fantasy player. Like, he's going to get you yards, but he doesn't get in the end zone.
He doesn't.
And that's the thing. Like, I thought I was getting a steal with Kyle Pitts. I was like, man, he's their whole offense. He's the most talented player on their team. And they go, you know what? We're going to fool the entire league. We're not even going to throw to our most talented player.
He's out there. Like, he's out there like the old guy in Happy Gilmore. Just like, what?
Yeah.
Just like shaking his head.
Lee Trevino out there. Yeah. Dylan, Nyheim Hines to trade it to Buffalo. It might help you, but I mean, he's going into a committee. So, I mean, you might see a couple throws to him, and I don't know. I could be wrong. I've been wrong.
I will say Caffrey going to the 49ers had himself a game.
Yeah, that's a big,
I think that helped the donkey, right? That was
that was Matt's his first
team right there. Yeah, so like McCaffrey going there has just skyrocketed his like available points. Then utilizing him.
McCaffrey to the Niners has helped me because I picked up DJ Moore on the waiver wire, and he's the whole offense is running through DJ Moore now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The 2 weeks since I picked him up on waivers, I think he's averaged like 20 points.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. It's a. That like at the end of the game, he caught like a 50-yard touchdown and put me back into our matchup.
Oh man, I didn't even see. Wait. Yeah, I did see that actually.
Yeah, I was like, well, going into the afternoon games, I am done. And then I saw that pop up and I was like,
dude, I started getting a little nervous. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's funny because we have our group DM. our fantasy league DM, and it seemed like everybody was watching our matchup.
Oh yeah, dude, I'm sitting there with Greg's at the bar at Rebel Hill. Just like, I could see him just watching our stats the whole time. Like, he could give a shit about his.
I haven't been in a game that was over early. You know, I have a lot, most of my matchups have come down to Monday night games. This was the first week where I was like, Sunday night, it's over. Cool. Okay. I lost, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of season left. I'm fine with that. I don't have to have a puckered butthole on Monday night anymore. I'm hoping that this week against bye week Justin, I can end it early. I'm hoping to go up like 120 points.
What benefits me giving a trade to Justin to help him out? Does that benefit me at all by knocking you down at all in another division?
I don't
just spitballing here.
Honestly. So I had the exact same thought. Do I offer? And I've had a couple weeks where I've looked at Justin's team and been like, hey, do I make him a trade? Like, do I try and fleece him for his desperation? And he's not in my division.
Like, I mean,
he has Derrick Henry, but he doesn't really have many players that I want. Like, you can make a trade with him, but I don't think outside of Derrick Henry, I don't think you're getting any kind of benefit from his team.
Jesus Christ.
And it doesn't matter.
I thought I accidentally clicked on
waiver wire.
No, I thought I accidentally clicked on Greg's roster. I was like, oh, this has to be Greg's roster, isn't it?
Like you're not. Maybe
I'm not benefiting unless maybe like Antonio Gibson is trade bait for anybody because
nobody wants him. Nobody's going to want him.
Nobody's going to want him, but he's the only person getting points on the Commanders other than McKissick.
Yeah, no, you have what Robinson's back. Bullet in the butt. Robinson. Oh,
they finally got the bullet out? Sweet. Yeah. All right. Hey guys.
And he had himself a game.
Well, Antonio Gibson also had 20 points last game, so.
Yeah, but you have to it's hard with committees like that. Like it's either a hit or miss. It's a boom or bust week either way. Because they could rely on Robinson 1 week and you don't know what their game plan is. So, last week I made a bet that Robinson was going to be an anytime scorer and they relied on your boy. What's his name? We just talked about him.
Justin Herbert.
No.
Antonio. Robinson. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He caught a touchdown.
Geno Smith has been having himself a season. I also have DK Metcalf and Lockett available if anyone from the league is listening. You know?
So I mean you don't need Geno Smith.
Dylan, what are you doing? What are you doing, man?
Keenan Allen's up for trade.
Dylan, cool. Slide my DMs. I got two wide receivers here. You want to trade?
Yeah, please trade Dan somebody who he can put on his IR. Yeah.
What, is he hurt again? I thought he just got off.
No, he's been hurt. I don't think he.
I thought he came back.
He was. What did he do? Oh, he had two catches for 11 yards against Seattle, who has an awful defense.
Yeah,
they have a tough run coming up. Chargers are it's looking rough.
Well, they're at Arizona, right? For the next game?
No, they are at San Fran.
They're at Arizona next game.
Oh no, they're at Atlanta. That's right. Yeah, because Austin Eckler is going to go for like 400 yards.
Wait, am I looking? Oh, I'm looking at.
Yeah, you're looking a couple weeks ahead.
I'm looking at week 9. It's Arizona. For Lockett and DK?
Oh, no. Oh, no, I'm talking about Keenan Allen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're at, Atlanta.
Yeah. I think I might need, I don't know. I've, all my like, major, my big players have kind of hit their bye week already.
Man, Tom, let's look at yours. Man, you are. I mean, I gotta hand it to old concussion protocol Tagovailoa over there, whatever. Tagovailoa over there.
I don't know who put him on waivers instead of putting him on like IR, which was ridiculous.
Yeah,
I as soon as that happened, I was like, "Fuck yeah!" I'm picking him up and throwing him right on my IR.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he impressed me actually.
He's like an automatic 300 yard game.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that.
All right, so, yes, Derek Carr, from a fantasy standpoint, awful.
Yeah, you'll get more points with their kicker, Daniel Carlson. I know from experience.
you're right.
I am right. This is my second season with the D Carr. He's my D Carr.
So. Now, moving forward, Ryan came over and watched the Eagles game with me, and we had some discussion about the league. Now, I feel like, I mean, I really enjoy this league. I think we could do it for another season.
Oh, I'm keeping this going till the wheels fall off.
Yeah.
This is the best league I've been in.
I mean, we talked about having a keeper league. I think a keeper league is the way to go. If you're going to keep it going, you have a keeper league. And that's so a keeper league, you keep one player. it's strategy. It's up until one week before the draft to choose your keeper.
Okay.
So
it's a keeper, not dynasty. I'm thinking dynasty.
Not dynasty. Like no, okay, I don't want to do dynasty. Just do.
I don't want to do dynasty either. I was like, but okay, keeper league is just one player. Okay, that's fun. Yeah, because like, yeah, especially if you've had like a season where you've kind of bounced back or dropped down or maybe had like a last minute run at the end where you want to keep that person for next season. Like
so Ryan brought this up, and I want to get your thoughts on this. What do you think about cutting down the bench?
Yes, I don't use enough of it. I feel like I actually do have a space on my bench.
Right. Hold on. Here's the thing though. Cutting down the benches to maybe like four players opens up the waiver wire.
Yes, it does.
Each week it makes you get to make strategic moves.
I don't have a spot this week. Last week I had a spot on the bench.
It's a lot harder to stash players.
It is.
The bench positions become a lot more worthwhile. Ooh, having.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I don't know. This might not benefit me too much. I'm a squirreler. I squirrel away my players. I got my nut sitting there, man.
Obviously, we're a democracy. I run a fair and just democracy here.
Don't you dare take my acorns, Tom.
as league manager, I would put it up to a vote if you want to cut down the benches. The other thing that I would like to institute, which I am supremely disappointed in myself for not doing this, and I think it was because it was just kind of rushed at the end. Bonus points. So I think we should be doing bonus points for running backs and receivers getting over 100 yard games.
Okay.
And quarterbacks throwing over 300.
I think that is a great idea because it's like you were saying, like even it's not a perfect example, but with Goddard getting like, he gets yards, he never gets touchdowns though. Mm-hmm. So it's like you have all of these receivers who are getting tons of yards. Like Tyreek Hill had a game with the Dolphins where he got over 100 yards, but like, never got a touchdown.
So the idea would be you would get fractional points for as a bonus. We could do like half point or like three quarter points, but then it would go up. But then it would go up. So if you had like 200 yard receiving or 200 yard rushing, then you do like 2 points or 3 points, like something that's it's rare anymore that you see those monster games. You could do like bonuses for quarterbacks throwing like a 400 yard game, is things that are rare. You get like, you can make it really worthwhile. Like if Derrick Henry goes off for 230 yards, you could end up making three quarters of a point for the 100 yard and then like 4 points for a 200 yard game. That's a huge, that could swing a game.
I agree with that. With regards to the, what was the other one we were talking about before that? What was the other one you wanted to institute before you drop that bomb?
The benches.
Oh, yeah, the benches dropping down. We should leave that decision up to whoever wins the league.
Oh, I like that. Okay. All right. I like that one.
They decide on that because that one, it's like, hey, it's great for the, you can score away players. You can, it opens up the waiver wire. So there's like benefits on each side of that one. So I feel like that one is a good one to like, give to the winner who can decide, but the points, the bonus points, that benefits everybody right there.
Yeah. And obviously like, so what I've done before when I've played keeper leagues, every team, picks a player to be kept. If someone decides to not participate next year, their team would be dissolved and would go into every player would go into the draft.
Okay. That makes, you can't grab anybody from somebody who dissolved. That's just, correct. That's into the draft, into the ether. And that goes for that. Yeah. What time we got here? We got 7:58. What time's the first pitch? 8:07.
Yeah. So we got a couple minutes.
Okay.
We got to talk real quick. The Nut almost scored 69 points. 69.9, right?
69, almost six. Well, now he had like 67 something, but yeah, he was the closest to his actual namesake I have ever seen.
Yeah.
I could not believe that.
9 almost scored 69. the week that he, if he scores 69.9, I feel like I should convert that to an automatic win.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, that's like bonus points where a commissioner has to step in for that.
Yeah.
67.94.
Wow. Wow. That's impressive. I would have been rooting for it. All right. That's fantasy football talk, everybody.
This is fantasy football talk.
Oh man, that stinger turned out so good. All right, everybody. We're going to be getting out of here soon, Dan.
We got a game to watch, guys.
Yeah. Predictions on the game tonight. We did benefit from the Phillies did benefit from the rain postponement. We have Ranger Suarez going tonight instead of Thor.
So happy about that. That's a great decision. We've got a nice low fastball pitcher who's going to be, I feel like he's going to do very well, but I do think that this is
kid's cool as a cucumber. Kid's cool as a
cucumber. He is. I mean, composure on the mound. I feel like this is going to be a push and pull game. I feel like this is going to be a good one.
Yeah. It's a, you know, as a great man once said, he's cooler than the other side of the pillow.
Yeah. Crisp.
I think my issue with the pitchers this series is with a team like the Astros who hit for power.
He's a fastball pitcher.
Work the bottom half of the zone. You got to work the bottom half.
And he does that. He does. And that's what counts.
So we need the bats to come alive. Unfortunately, I mean, the Astros have probably the deepest rotation or pitching staff in the league.
Their bench. It's tough. That's a tough bench right there.
Yeah. And their pitching staff is ridiculous. We're not getting those layups like we had in San Diego. So we'll see. Hopefully, I mean, this crowd's going to be ridiculous.
I feel like the Astros aren't ready for the sound. Like, it didn't sound very loud on Fox at Minute Maid Park.
Yeah, they pipe it down a little bit.
They try to pipe it down at Citizens Bank, though, but those games were loud, man.
A lot of these other towns, they're not like diehard sports cities, you know, like San Diego is not a diehard sports city. Atlanta, the game one was the stadium was half empty. It was like, it looked like an LA game. Like it was half empty for most of the game. People got off work and they're like, well, I'll go down to game one of the series.
I would say professional non-collegiate sports have definitely just fallen off in Atlanta. Just I feel like other than like, you know, like people going to collegiate sports there, like Atlanta's just fallen off.
Yeah. I don't know
maybe MLS too. I don't know. Like I heard the soccer team used to be decent, but I don't know how they did this year.
I don't know what Houston's really big on. Their football team stinks and they're not a big like NFL town. Yeah. I mean, the Astros are, I mean, that's gotta be like, that's it. It's gotta be the Astros, right? That's
yeah. All. And you got that fucking tool bag, Josh Ennis over there in Houston as a radio host. And he is just a fucking awful person.
Bryson Stott bombed.
He is such a bandwagoner. Like he used to just trash the Astros all the time when they were cheating.
Is he back in Houston?
Yeah. He's not on Houston radio. He has his own podcast,
right?
Yeah. Cause he got fired from all the Houston radio. Yeah. But, that motherfucker is just, he's just like all this pro like Astros stuff after he trashed them for cheating for like 4 years.
Yeah. I liked Josh Innes.
I did too, but man, he is bandwagoner now after like seeing what he's doing with the Astros. He's just like sitting there trashing. He's trashing the Phillies. I'm like, with your Astros that you trashed for like 4 years on their radio, which is why you got fired.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's just he's got that personality. Like he always wants to be like the divisive guy. And
yeah, he's the contrarian. He's always got to be the contrarian. Well,
I mean, his big problem here was he wanted to be the Howard Stern of sports Philly radio. Sports. Yeah.
Yeah.
He wanted to start like a radio war with Mike. What's his name? It's not even on radio anymore.
I know who you're talking about, the like, guy from the Fanatic.
Yeah, unlistenable.
Missinelli.
Yeah, there you go. Unlistenable.
Unlistenable. He's terrible.
Yeah. I think the crowd needs to show up. I did see somebody, one of the Astros fans, put an Astros sticker on Rocky's shorts today.
Get fucked.
Yeah. Everybody in the I wish I was going to the game because I would have brought like a sign with that guy's face on it. Like, yo, let's find this guy and we need to spill his blood tonight. But everybody in the comments section of that picture was like, yo, ask the Vikings how well that worked out for them.
Oh, good.
That was the last time it was done. Yeah, there was a couple Vikings fans in there. And so he was like, there was one comment.
That you don't
was like,
mess with the Vikings fucking Rocky fan. Statue.
He was like, I'm a Vikings fan. Please don't do this. I would love, that would be so wonderful if that became the curse. Like if an opposing
doing anything to the Rocky statue. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I mean, hopefully we get a Braves like series where it's just a San Diego series where it comes home to Citizens Bank and we just run fucking train through these guys. But yeah, game's about to start. We're going to wrap it up here. Yeah. All right, everybody. Best Friends Podcast in the world. All our socials, Best Friends Pod, Best Friends POD. I don't know when YouTube will be updated, but you know, everything. Just search Best Friends Pod. That does it. Episode 139?
Yep, 139. We out.
See you.
Best Friends Pod, hosted by Dan and Tom. 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 This podcast is hosted by two bros. So crack a beer and laugh at some videos. Superhuman jump through barbed wire bricks. Fuck this shit. Clang out with little lunchbox. Become a cluggolet. A cluggolet. Sometimes I'm a stouty boy, sometimes lazy. And this podcast is both. So it's the one for me. Best Friends Pod, hosted by Dan and Tom. Cindy Crawford's a fan, how could you go wrong? So many pods up there, were it the ones for me? Epstein is still alive and listens to Best Friends.